Today we look at one of my favorite passages of the gospel story. The passage we heard Carlo read from John 21 is post-resurrection, after Jesus had risen from the grave. And this is the exchange between Peter and Jesus, all just days after it all occurred. And from all accounts, this was a very personal and private moment where Peter is confronted by Jesus. Now, after the resurrection, we know that Peter and John confirmed that the tomb was empty. Jesus had made appearances to the disciples, but many of the disciples were still uncertain if Jesus was real or if Jesus was a ghost. And John 21 tells us that Peter was with some of the disciples, and Peter decides he's going to go fishing, and some of the other disciples come along with him. Peter was among the first of the 12 to be called by Jesus. What we gather from the four gospel accounts is that Peter, James, and John had become profoundly interested in the teachings of John the Baptist. And it was through John the Baptist's acknowledgement of Jesus that John and Andrew went to Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah." And what is very interesting is that we have two similar stories about Peter and a miraculous catch of fish. The first miraculous catch of fish occurred during the call of Peter at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the second story, where there is a miraculous catch of fish, in John 21. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he calls upon Peter and the other fishermen to go and cast their nets for some fish. And Peter proclaims to this man he didn't really know, he says, "We've been out all night and we've caught nothing." But we know the story, don't we? Jesus said, "Cast your nets over on the other side," and they hauled in more fish than their boat could pull in. In fact, it started to sink. After the resurrection, Peter and the others are out fishing again. And a man who was Jesus called to them from the bank, and they didn't recognize right away that it was Jesus. And he said, "Hey, how's it going, you fishermen?" And Peter again says, "We've been out all night and we've caught nothing." And he said, "Well, try the other side." And again, they pulled in a huge load of fish, their nets overflowing, ready to break. In both cases, Jesus encouraged them to recast their nets, and one more time, in both cases, they catch a load of fish so big that their nets are busting. And in both cases, at the end of each of these miracles, Jesus tells Peter to follow him. In the story after the resurrection, this was Peter's reaction after realizing it was indeed Jesus and his miracle. In verse 7, it says, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him," for he had taken it off, "and jumped into the water." Peter was so excited to see Jesus that he jumped off the boat, which the scripture says was about 100 yards offshore, and swam to Jesus. The scriptures tell us that the disciples brought the haul of fish into the shore, and there was Jesus waiting for them with a fire going. And they cooked fish, and they ate together. And I wonder if sharing this meal with Jesus brought back a flood of great memories. You know, like when you're at a family reunion, what do? You start telling stories. Remember when so-and-so did this? Remember when this happened? And I wonder if this meal brought back a flood of great memories to Peter. Like the time when Jesus fed the crowds with just a few fish. And there was so much fish that they had baskets of leftovers. I wonder if he remembered the other miracles, including the healings, the casting out of demons, and even watched Jesus raise those from the dead. And as these memories raced through his head, I wondered if he remembered that very first miracle, catch of fish. In the first miracle, Luke records Peter's reaction this way. This is from the first miracle. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Peter saw and knew the power of Jesus, and he knew from the beginning that he was unworthy to be a disciple. And this is where Peter first learned about grace and love, where Jesus essentially said, "Don't let your sins of your past hold you back. I have great things planned for you. You will be fisher of men." And Jesus even changed the name of Peter. Peter's name was Simon, and Jesus changed it to Cephas, which translated into Greek as Petros, or in English as Peter. In Aramaic, it means the rock. Jesus even told Peter that he would be the rock, the foundation on which the church would be built. And that's why our Catholic friends consider Peter to be the first pope. And as the flood of memories returned to Peter, Peter probably began to remember how many times he had let Jesus down. Like the time he and others were on a boat and scared to death of the storm. And Jesus calms the storm and looks at them and says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Or the time that Jesus was walking on the water and at first Peter jumped out boldly, then he lost his focus and he quickly fell into the water. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Or how about the night of the Last Supper? Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Peter didn't get it. He first refuses to let Jesus wash his feet. He didn't get what Jesus was doing, and he argues with Jesus. And the scripture in John says, Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And as Peter is having all these memories, I can't help but think about in his mind comes the most epic failure of his life. Leading up to the night that he was arrested, Jesus had predicted his own death. And on the night of the Last Supper, he predicted his betrayal by a disciple. And then we see this exchange in the scriptures. Peter declared, he said to Jesus, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? We know that Peter did, in fact, deny Jesus three times, just as Jesus predicted. And here is how Luke records the third and final denial. Peter replied, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and he wept bitterly. He went outside and he wept bitterly. Not only did he actually deny Jesus three times, Jesus looked right at him the moment it happened. Jesus saw it. Peter knew he saw it. Peter was crushed. It was at this moment that Peter probably felt like he was the biggest failure in the world. I mean, Peter was one of only three disciples that saw Jesus transfigured on the mountain. Peter was a central figure in all the Gospels, right there with Jesus at every key moment. Peter was supposed to be the rock, the man whom the church was to be built on. And Peter not only failed once, he failed three times in a matter of hours. And as all this failure was coming back to Peter's mind, Jesus takes him to a side for a little one-on-one. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now that, my friends, is a loaded and painful question. There are a lot of ways to look at this. We unfortunately don't know the tone that was used by Jesus. I mean, he could have said it out of a touch of anger. "Simon, son of John, don't you love me more than these?" He could have said it with sarcasm. "Simon, son of John, don't you love me more than these?" Or did he speak with grace and love? "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Think about this for a moment. When someone crosses us, betrays us, how do we react? I know all too often I'm more likely to take one of the first two approaches. If you're ever in our house, you'll learn that sarcasm abounds. But we can assume that it was with the grace and love that Jesus always showed, saying, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And I want you to notice that Jesus addresses him by his old name, Simon, not by his new name, Peter. The scriptures show us that all three times he calls him Simon. In verse 16, he says, "And Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' And a third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?'" You see, Jesus knew that Peter, out of guilt, out of grief, out of everything, had turned back to his old self. Peter had turned back to his old ways. Peter had given up being Peter the fisher of men and had resigned to going back to being Simon the fisher of fish. And let's consider the metaphor of both stories of the miraculous catches of fish. Without Jesus, Peter's nets were coming up empty. The metaphor is telling us that in life, no matter what we pursue without Jesus, that in the end, our nets will turn up empty. But with Jesus, not only are we filled, but our cups run over. And Peter regresses back to being Simon. And Simon was empty and hurting. And when Jesus calls him by his old name and questions his love for Jesus, this really hurts Peter. It says in the scripture that Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And I could only imagine the words barely coming out of his throat as the tears were overwhelming, as he was choked up with grief and sadness, that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Have you ever felt like Peter? Have you ever been totally ashamed, totally demoralized, in great pain because of your actions? Have you ever felt unworthy to be anything for Jesus? Peter had a history of messing up and messing up and messing up. And then Peter really, really messed up. Jesus predicted it. Jesus even saw it firsthand. Yet Jesus never gave up on Peter. Jesus knew his heart, and Jesus addresses him directly. First, as I mentioned before, he calls him Simon and not Peter. And by doing this, Jesus is saying, stop retreating back to where you were and who you were before I called you. And then secondly, he says, do you love me more than these? And two times he asks them, do you love me? In these questions, Jesus is reminding Peter that there is an established relationship. He's saying, head up, Peter. Stop brooding. Let go of your pain and remember that we have a relationship. We have a connection. Peter's hurting because he loves Jesus and he really messed up. And just like in one of our previous sermons, Jesus here acknowledges that sometimes love hurts. And Jesus is saying, you are in pain because of love. Your heart is heavy. You are filled with tears. You are filled with anguish because sometimes love hurts. But even in the hurt, the love is still there. And I wonder if Peter began to remember the parable Jesus taught about the prodigal son who was welcomed back by his father. I wonder if he remembered the parable of the lost sheep where the shepherd left the 99 to go find the one. Just as Jesus went after Peter and pulled him aside. And then Jesus gives Peter these three commands. He says, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus is saying, if you love me, stop being Simon. Stop being the person that you were and start being Peter. Be the person that I called you to be. Jesus is saying, take care of my church. Feed them the bread of life. Feed them the word of God. Take care of my church. Visit the sick. Take care of those in need. Pray for them. Love them. Jesus is saying, Peter, because you love, not if you love. Peter, because you love me, your love requires action. He's saying, Peter, your love is demonstrated for me not by the mistakes you make, but by the actions that you live out. The New Testament tells us again and again, when we come to Christ, when we experience salvation, when we surrender ourselves and give our hearts to Jesus, we become a new person. We go from being Simon's to being Peter's. We go from being God's creation to being God's children. Do you get that? There is a difference there. There are some people in this world that says we are all God's children. That, my friends, is not scriptural. We are all God's creation. That is true. But we do not become God's children until we are adopted as sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. And you see, we are to stop being our old selves. As I said, we are no longer Simons. We are no longer people working for worldly gain. We are to be Peters. We are to be people who, despite their imperfections, go and build our churches. We are people that, despite our imperfections, go and make disciples. Our love for Christ is seen through our actions. And then at the end of their conversation together, it says, then he said to him, follow me. follow me. Jesus shows Peter love. Jesus shows Peter grace. Jesus shows Peter redemption. All when he says, follow me. And no matter where you are at in your walk of faith, no matter how many mistakes that you have made, no matter how many times you have stumbled, Jesus wants you to stop being the person you were. Stop being your old self. Jesus wants you to start being the person that he has called you to be. His love, his grace, his mercy all abounds for you. And this is the beauty of the gospel. This is the beauty of the story of Peter. It is the beauty of our story. By all standards, I am unworthy to stand before you today. Like Peter, I have made mistakes. I have made some big mistakes in my life. I have hurt people that I love. I have hurt my Lord and Savior by my actions and also by my inaction. But you know what Jesus says to me? He says, Scott the sinner, do you love me? Scott who failed, do you love me? Scott the one who feels unworthy, do you love me? If you love me, then leave those old titles behind. Stop being Scott the sinner. Stop being Scott the one who failed. Scott, stop being the one who feels unworthy and follow me. Leave that old identity and go be who I called you to be. If you're the sinner, love him. If you're the one who failed, love him. If you're the one who feels unworthy, love him. Leave those old titles and go and follow Jesus. Leave that old identity and go be the person that God has called you to be. Will you answer his call? Will you show your love by following him? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share this wonderful story. Lord, I don't know about anybody else, but I certainly identify with Peter. My life is nothing exemplary. I've done some things and shameful things. But Lord, you are proof that anyone can be redeemed to your service. Lord, through Jesus Christ, we experience your grace, your love, your mercy, and forgiveness. And the chains of our past no longer hold us down. For your Son wipes us clean. He makes us worthy. And it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be the people that you have called us to be. And the Lord, allow us as your church to work together, to build each other up, and to follow together the mission that you have for us. Allow us as your church to move forward and go and make disciples in our community. Let us have revival through your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us experience restoration and renewal like we have never seen before. And Lord, all of this comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. It comes when we say, yes, Lord, I surrender to you. And when it happens when we decide to stop being Simons And we decide that we are going to be Peters. Lord, let us experience and feel your love today. And for anyone that is out there and hurting, Lord, may your Holy Spirit reach out now and touch them so that they may hear, see, feel, and experience what it means to have forgiveness, to have redemption, and to know your love. This we ask and pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.